Praise the Lord. Amen. If you have your Bibles this morning, I want you to turn with me a very familiar scripture, but I believe that God has given me a message for you this morning. The Lord gave me this message, and when He did, I promised Him that I would preach it wherever I go. So I am here. So I'm going to preach it. Amen. Exodus, the third chapter, starting with the first verse. Exodus, the third chapter, starting with the first verse. If you're there, say amen. Amen. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. How many want to go to the mountain of God? And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of the bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. Isn't it amazing? No one introduced him, but God knew him. Amen. Aren't you glad that God knows you? He knows you by name. Amen. And he said, here I am. Then he said, do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. If I was to put a title on the message this morning, it would be Take Your Shoes Off. You're on holy ground. Would you bow your head with me? Father, I thank you for your word. I pray, God, that you would just continue bless. I thank you for the worship that we have been involved in. I thank you for your presence that we feel here this morning. God, I just pray that you would anoint me and use me, Lord, to minister to your people. God, that when we leave this morning, we can say one thing. We have been in the presence of an almighty God. And we know everything's going to be all right. And Father, we'll never fail to worship and praise you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. You may be seated. This is a very familiar story, and a lot of you know it. Real quickly, just let me tell you that unless God tells me to, I'm not going to tell you to take your shoes off. For those of you that were worried, that's not going to happen unless the Lord says to. Can you say amen? What a familiar scripture this was. Moses taking care of his father-in-law's flock when he turns and he looks at the mount of God, and there is a bush burning, but it's not consumed. And he said, I'm going to turn aside and go see this thing. I don't know about you, but I would want to see that. How many, if you saw a bush burning, but it wasn't consuming, would like to see something like that? So he turned aside, and as he was drawing near, the Lord spoke and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. And he said, Moses, don't you come any further. Moses, stop right where you are. Take your shoes off, for the ground you're standing on is holy ground. It is very important for me to tell you this morning that the ground was not holy, therefore the fire burned. But the ground was holy because the fire was burning in the place. In other words, God didn't come down to the place because the place was holy, but when God stepped on the place became holy. Can you say amen? This morning, about 5 o'clock in the morning, this was just a building. We used it for a church, but it was just a building. But somewhere in the midst of the worship and the praise, somewhere as we were worshiping and praising God, God Almighty stepped into this sanctuary. And at that moment, this became holy ground. This became his dwelling place. Can I tell you this morning, church, you are standing, you are sitting, you are in the presence of an almighty God, the God of the universe, the God that spoke the world into existence, the God that rides on the wind. The heavens is his throne, the earth is his footstool, the omnipotent God. He is in the place. This is his house. We are in his presence. My, 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 my. Hallelujah. You see, at the moment God stepped in, it became his house. And God said to Moses, Moses, stop right there. This is my house. This is my place. This is where I am. So this is my place. Moses, don't you come in my place with your shoes on. You take your shoes off if you're going to come in my house. So Moses kicked his shoes off. Pastor, before he could come any further, he had to take his shoes off. It's expedient for me to tell you that according to the history of the Hebrew church, you don't never go in someone's house with your shoes on. If I was to come to your pastor's house and I was going to honor him as the man of the house, I would take my shoes off before I ever came in, because it's his house. If I didn't respect him or didn't honor him or thought he was lower than me, I would keep my shoes on. And when I got inside, I would cross my feet and point the bottom of my feet toward him, to say that I was higher than him and disrespecting him. Why did you come to church this morning? Because it's not about you and I. It's about God Almighty. And you see, when we understand that we are in the presence of God and we are coming to his house. Pastor, I've been a pastor for 20 some years and I have dealt with people, and I've been to churches where people come in and they come in with an arrogance. They come in with an awesome about themselves, and they come in thinking it's all about them. I want you to know this morning, it's not about you. It's about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's about Jesus Christ. It is about praising and magnifying him. It is about glorifying him. We have come into the presence of an almighty God. I know where I used to be. I know where I am, and I know where I'm going. And the reason I am what I am is because of him. It is nothing I've done. It is because of him. I've got to praise him. I've got to worship him. I've got to kick my shoes off. I've got to honor him, because he deserves all of our praise and honor. Can you say amen? You see, when we come to church and we lift him up and we worship him and we magnify him, we step into his presence, for he dwells in our worship, in our praise. When we change our mind concept, and it isn't we're coming into church with our hands like this going, give me God, give me God, give me, but we've turned our hands like this and said, God, I want to give you praise, I want to give you honor, but I like the old song we sung as a little child, when the praise is gone, the blessings come down. Can you say amen? And when the church realizes, when we praise God, when we honor him, when we glorify him, he comes down in the very midst of us, and the blessings of the Lord come down in the midst of us. Hallelujah. Is this all right? I told you I just like to preach. But the key thing is when I come to your pastor's house and I want to honor the man of the house, and I take my shoes off at the door before I ever come in, I take my shoes off. But when I step in, there's a thing of water there. And either your pastor or one of his servants are going to come and wash my feet. If I never would have took my shoes off, the man of the house would have never washed my feet. If you're wondering, how come everybody's getting blessed and I'm not? Maybe you still have your shoes on. Why is everybody else getting touched and I'm not? Well, maybe you still have your shoes on. Maybe you haven't made this about Jesus Christ and it's still about you. Can you say amen? Because you see, when you take your shoes off, the man of the house or one of the servants come and wash your feet. Oh, I want to be touched by Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? I didn't come to church this morning just to preach. I am so glad your pastor gave me the opportunity, but I want you to know I fought the devil all week, and I've come to get touched by God.
God. I want Jesus Christ to touch me. I don't want to come and have a religious service, and I don't want to be in church. I want to have church. I want to be in the presence of an almighty God. I want God Almighty to touch me, but before he can touch me, I've got to kick my shoes off and make it about him, and it cannot be about me. Then after he washes my feet, he invites me in. Whew. Don't you want to go deeper in? I don't want to just hang around the outside. I want to go deeper in. He invites us into his house. He takes us into his living room where he can teach us how to live. He takes us into his kitchen where he can feed us. Can you say amen? Oh, I want to be fed by the Lord. I want to walk out of here full. It amazes me. I've been to church and I've pastored in churches to where that, man, you can preach the word and someone over here gets full up and someone over here don't get anything. And I don't know about you. I'm from Toledo, Ohio. My wife is from Tennessee. My family is from West Virginia. My mom and dad's from West Virginia. So what are you saying? I'm saying both of us originated down south. And you know, southern people know how to eat. Amen. You know, I like to eat. I like to go to southern people's house and eat. Because they just put it on the table. And they say, enjoy yourself. If we have it, you can have it. Amen. I preached a revival one time where they about starved me to death because they brought me a plate with portions on it. I'm serious. And then when you were done with that, they removed your plate. If you weren't full, it's tough. But I got them back. The last night, they took me to McDonald's and said, order what you want. I said, yes, I am. Let's leave that alone. But, you know, In a southern house, you come in and they lay it out. Whether it's fried chicken or pinto beans, cornbread, and fried potatoes. Oh, there's nothing like better than that. I know the Lord's coming because he called Colonel Sanders home to make the chicken for the wedding supper of the Lamb. Amen. I tell everybody this is not a belt I have around my waist. It's a leather fence around a chicken graveyard. But you know, I've tried to be at some of those dignified restaurants. You know, where you hold your cup of tea and your little fingers out like this. And as soon as you take a drink, you put it down, you take your napkin in. No. I have been around people that eat chicken with a knife and fork. Are you kidding? When I'm eating barbecue ribs, I need a stack of napkins. I'm going to enjoy myself. And you see, some people come to the house of God in that dignified way. Oh, can I preach now? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Honey, is my mascara running? Forget about it. Just worship God. Forget about it. Worship God. Forget about it. Just worship God. It doesn't matter what you look like. God Almighty is in the house. Jesus Christ is in the house. You want to kick your shoes off and get everything you can. Oh, my. Hallelujah. I told myself once before, Pastor, I wouldn't tell this anymore, but I was a youth pastor in Toledo, Ohio, and I worked at a gas station. You remember when someone used to pump your gas for you? That was me. We were in revival, and I got off at 6 o'clock, church started at 7. I wanted to be there. And I rushed home, took a shower, grabbed my clothes. You know, I was 17 years old, putting on a suit and tie. And as I was putting on my socks, it happened. I must have pulled too hard because the big toe on my right foot came through. There was no time to change socks. No one's going to see it anyhow. I got my shoes on. So I put my shoes on and I went to church. Guess what the preacher preached on? Take your shoes off. I've got about 20 youth that I'm the youth pastor over. And I'm right in the middle. The church was packed. And then the pastor lost his mind. He said, everybody take your shoes off and come up front. First of all, I was single. Second of all, there were some girls there that I was interested in, and they were interested in me. I was looking good. I was not taking my shoes off and showing my big toe. There's just no way. And everybody came up front but the youth pastor. And the pastor kept looking back at me like, yes, we're going to talk after service. Why aren't you up here? And you know when you're the center of attention, everybody does this. You know, why isn't he coming up? And I'm in my mind, I'm going, oh, Lord, what do I do? I thought, take your shoes and socks off. No, that won't work. So I did the roll and tuck. Some of you know what I'm talking about. I pulled my shoes off. I took my sock and I pulled it out. I rolled it up and stuck it between my big toe and the toe next to it. Squeezed my toes together. And here I come walking up there, you know. My foot squeezed together. No one's going to know. But somewhere I got, as I began to walk up front, I got up where the glory of God was. And I got up into the presence of God. By the time I got done dancing and shouting and jumping and glorifying God, I had holes all in my socks, but I didn't care. Hallelujah. Because no one was looking at my foot. No one was looking at my toe. Everybody else was interested in what God was doing. Sometimes we can't kick our shoes off and come into the presence of God because we're afraid of what everybody else is going to say. It doesn't matter what everybody else is saying. God Almighty is in the house. We need to run. Worship him. We need to praise him. We need to magnify him. Get your shoes off and come into his house. Oh, my, 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 my. In the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. His train filled the temple. My Lord, don't you see, if our spiritual eyes could be open this morning, if we could look into the spiritual realm, you would see Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, enthroned in this place because he inhabits, he enthrones himself in the place where two or three are gathered in my name. There I will be. Hallelujah. He is here. Jesus Christ himself is here. If we could see him, no, he's not on a cross. He's not in a tomb. He's not in a manger. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the God of all the universe. My Lord, he is in the house. A throne is upon his head, not a crown of thorns, but a diadem of royalty. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's the Lamb of God. He deserves our worship and praise. He said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. Strange. And then he said, woe am I. So you can't get in the presence of God and think you're anything because you realize what you really are when you're in the presence of God. He said, I am a man of unclean limbs, and I dwelt among a people of unclean limbs. You've got to catch this. Then an angel walked over and took some tongs and took a coal off the hot fire and flew down and touched his lips and said, this has purified you. No, you didn't get it. Let me say it again. See if you can catch it. An angel took some tongs and took a hot coal off the fire and flew down and touched his lips. You see, the angel had to use some tongues because it was too hot for the angels to touch. The angels couldn't touch it, but he was touched by that which was too hot for the angels to touch. Hallelujah. You see, there is a deepness of the presence of God. There is a touch of God where we can feel the glory of God, the touch of God, where that we're changed when we leave this place. We're not the same as we was when we came in this place. We're just a little step higher. We're just a little bit closer to God. We've just got a little bit more faith. We just know that our God is able. We've got more knowledge of him. We've got more knowledge of his word. We can look the devil in the eye and say, that's all right. I've been in the presence of an almighty God and everything is all right. But we've got to kick our shoes off so we can get into the presence of God. We've got to make it about him. We've got to worship, magnify, and glorify him. Thank God for the worship. Thank God for the worship team that did the worship this morning. And as we were singing, I was just thinking, oh God, what a privilege it is just to sit here, just to sing to you, just to worship you, just to bow down to you, just to give you glory. That's what it's all about. I hear these people say, we went to worship service. And they go in and they do a bunch of rituals and leave. The word worship in the Hebrew literally means to bow down, to lay prostrate, to give honor and glory. Is he worthy? Is he worthy enough? Is he worthy enough to give honor and glory? See, let me give you my testimony. I was the youth pastor at the church where I just spoke to you about. And something happened, a big ruckus happened in the church. Pastor who I loved, I mean, he was like not only my pastor, but a good friend. Some things happened with money, and I'm not for sure yet today what'll happen. I never seen people act more like devils in my life. One lady took a glass of water and threw it in the pastor's face. They were fighting. I walked out of there and said, I am not going to go back to church again. Every morning I would walk to Libby High School in Toledo, Ohio, and would get in a car with three other guys and drive to apprentice school where I learned how to weld. And every morning I would get in and they would tease me. They would sing the song, you know, no one's talking about love but the preacher. Every time I sat down in that car in the morning, they would all say, you want to smoke a joint? Knowing that I would say, absolutely not. Well, that morning they said, do you want to? And I said, yes. I am done. I never seen more wicked people in my life than I seen in that church. I took a spiral down. I would go to church because my mom would invite me to church and I would go to church. God would move in the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And Pastor, I'd walk out. I played the church game. Some of you young people know what I'm talking about. At night, I asked the Lord to forgive me of my sins so I didn't die and go to hell. But the next day, I lived the way I did the day before. And whenever anybody preached about hell, I went to the altar. But I walked out of there living any way I wanted to. Backslidden preacher. Running from God. For about 3 years, I ran from God. I came home one day. I'd been gone for a few days. A friend of mine was sitting on the porch who also was running from God. And he had snorted so much cocaine, his nose just bled continuously. But he was sitting on the porch, and I walked up and I said, Melvin, what are you doing here? Because you see, my mom and her two sisters were there, whom we called the three Hebrew children. They knew how to pray. And every one of them knew how to preach because they'd preach right to you. Anytime they had a chance, they'd preach to you. And I said, what are you doing here? And he told me that the night before, he tried to pray and tried to find God and couldn't find God. He prayed all night. He said it was out on his porch at 5 o'clock in the morning in rain when he finally touched God and God touched him. Well, I said, ooh, would you guys pray with me? They took me in the house and we knelt down and we began to pray. I prayed for 2 hours. I couldn't cry and I never felt the touch of God. I begged for God to touch me again and I could not feel the touch of God. one of the three Hebrew children said, well, maybe he's gone too far. Maybe God's turned him over. And God has rejected him like he did Saul. There's no greater fear to know that you'll never touch God again or God to touch you. For 2 weeks, I would go to work and think about it and leave work. There were times I thought about getting drunk. There were times I thought about doing anything to get this fear off of me. I would just drive around, Pastor, please, God, let me touch you again. Please, God, let me feel your touch again. God, please. For 2 weeks, I couldn't sleep. I couldn't eat. Please, God, let me touch you again. God, let me feel your touch again. My sister Robin and my mom went to Gary, Indiana, and there was a revival there. And it was a Holy Ghost-filled Baptist preacher preaching. Before service on that Friday night, my sister grabbed my aunts and my cousins and said, let's pray before we go, because the desire of my heart is for my brother Rick to feel God's touch one more time. And they held hands and they prayed. They went to church that night, and it was like the service was tied up. You know, it's like it was hard getting in. It was like there was a wooing, almost like you felt like you were in a funeral. And the preacher got up and he said, I can't preach. And he pointed my sister out and he said, honey, stand up. Only thing I can tell you is God said he's going to give you the desires of your heart. I sat on the edge of my bed all night. Please, God. Oh, God, let me feel your touch again. About 7 o'clock in the morning, my sister walked in my room, and there I was. I didn't sleep all night. She knelt down before me, and she told me about the prayer before service. And then she told me what the preacher said. And then just then, the heavens opened up. And the greatest love and the greatest touch I ever felt came down and touched me as God touched me again. I'm afraid to tell you this morning, it's not about you. It's about a God that touched me again. It's about a God that washed my sins away. It's about a God whom you were on your way to hell, but he reached down and grabbed you and pulled you out and washed your sins and saved you, set your feet on the straight rock. It's about him. Well, you don't know what I'm going through. Let me tell you about my brother. Her belt hit a pan of hot boiling oil and it spilled over on him. His flesh ran from his face and his head. Scars yet today, and it's been like 30 some years. John was boiled in oil. He lived, but don't say God protected him, did he? Didn't feel the oil. Then they took him and put him out on an old island. Here he was. If anybody had a right, Pastor, to say, I'm not worshiping God this morning, it was John. But he said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. He said, it was the Lord's day. So I kicked off my shoes. I can see him kneeling there with those arms, his scars from being boiled in oil, lifted in the air and worshiping the King of Kings. Then he said, and I heard a voice. And I turned to see him who spoke with me. Said his hair was white as wool. His eyes shined like fire. He was on a throne. His countenance, my Lord, one scripture said the earth is shunned away from. He said he had some stars in his hands. And he had some keys in his hands. He said, it was so awesome, I fell at his feet as if I were dead. And he reached out and he touched me. He said, "Don't be afraid." He said, "I'm the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. I'm the first and the last." He said, "I am him that was alive and was dead. But John, I am alive forevermore." I don't know about you, but I want a God experience. But to get a God experience, I've got to kick my shoes off. Or if I had time to tell you, then every time your pastor speaks the word, preaches the word to you, he is setting the table where God brought you into the kitchen. And if you haven't kicked your shoes off, you have no right to the table. That the word that he preaches can be spiritual food to you and meet every need in your life. But you've got to kick your shoes off. You've got to worship him. You've got to magnify him. You've got to glorify him. I could go on. Paul and Silas in the middle of a jail kicked their shoes off and at the midnight hour began to sing and worship. And God showed up in a jailhouse. And what happened was, when God stepped in, it became his house. It became his house. And in his house, there is no one bound up. That's why everybody was set free. Hallelujah. Because it became his house. It no longer was the jailer's house. It was his house because he stepped in. Because two people said, "Oh, it's midnight. Let's kick our shoes off. Let's worship him. Let's praise him. Let's magnify him." Whatever your need is this morning, God is able to do it. But you've got to make it about him. You've got to kick your shoes off. And you've got to worship him. It doesn't matter what kind of suit you have on. It doesn't matter your hair. It doesn't matter your makeup. None of that matters. What matters is Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who is in the midst. Would you stand with me? Hallelujah. I don't know what your need is, but I know the God that meets our needs is in this place. I feel his presence. I feel his glory. Have you stopped at the door of his presence? Or have you just kicked your shoes off and said, "God, I want to come in. I want to get everything you have for me. I want to worship you. I want to magnify you. I want to glorify you." Listen, I can see it. The Bible said that God went to Simon's house one day. Simon the leper. First of all, if he was still a leper, Christ wouldn't have came to his house. They wouldn't be having a party there if he was still a leper. Somewhere he was healed of leprosy. Somewhere he ran into Jesus. And Jesus healed him of leprosy. I read some theologians that believe he was the one that came back out of the tent and got down and worshiped God. And God said, "Your faith has made you whole." Jesus is in his house. Jesus is in his house. And they're just sitting around talking. Dinner's being served. And they're just sitting around. Jesus is in the house. All of a sudden, the door opened up and Pastor, a prostitute, come walking in. A woman of bad reputation come in. When she got in, she got down on her hands and knees. And with her tears, she washed his feet. And with her hair, she dried it. And then she pulled out a horn of oil, a little box of oil, precious oil. And she broke it and poured it over his feet. Those that was in the room, including Simon the leper, said, "Jesus, if you knew who she was, you'd tell her to get up." Listen to what Jesus said. Jesus said, Simon, I came in your house. You didn't even have water to wash my feet. You didn't even have oil to anoint my head. How many times has God come into the house and we don't even have water of worship and praise? We don't even have anointing of praise and worship to put upon his head. He said, this woman is doing a great thing. This will be for a memorial for her because she's doing this for me. The oil, the anointing oil that went over his feet had such a sweet, precious smell about it. The smell filled the room. When Jesus got up and walked, everywhere he walked, he left a footprint of the oil, and the smell went with him. When he walked out of the house, people would go, man, doesn't Jesus smell good? There goes Jesus. Can you smell him? And then all of a sudden, a prostitute came walking out who got some of that oil on her because she was anointing him. And someone said, is that Jesus coming? And they said, no, that's the prostitute. But she's been in the presence of Jesus, and she's anointed him, and now she smells like him. Hallelujah. Oh, I want to leave here knowing that I've been in the presence of God. Oh, I don't want to forget where he brought me from. I don't want to forget what he's done in my life. I don't want to forget that. I want to anoint him. I don't want to sit down and be in a comfortable church service with Jesus Christ. No, I don't have time for that. I've got to worship him. I've got to magnify him. I've got to praise him. I've got to take off my dignity. I've got to take off my pride. I've got to lift him up and worship him because it's about him. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If you are here this morning, and this thing, it just seems like it's become a religious thing, a church thing. Maybe you have forgotten where God brought you from and what he's done in your life. And you've got needs this morning that you want God to take care of. Well, he's here this morning. Is he going to call your name and say, stop, you can't come in here, you've got to kick your shoes off? Or is he going to say, come on in, I want to touch you, I want to minister to you, come in. Holy Spirit, right now, touch your people. These are your people, God. Holy Spirit, touch them. Oh God, it's time to fall in love with you all over again. God, it's time for us to remind ourselves who we are and who you are and who we are without you. So we've got to magnify you. We've got to worship you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, or maybe you're not where you should be with God, or maybe you just need a physical, spiritual, emotional, financial touch from the Lord, I want you to come. I want to pray for you. God is in this place. As the music plays, I want you to come right now. Don't wait. Step out right now and come. God is here. God is here. Come on. God is dealing with some of you. Come now. Don't wait. Come now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now we're going to pray for these that have come, but could you set an atmosphere for God to move? Don't look around. Don't talk. Get your minds on Jesus and just begin to worship him. Begin to magnify him. Set that atmosphere for the glory of God to move and touch. Pastor, if you'll come help me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.